Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's kind of a damp morning out there for us, but we're glad that you're in here. It's good and dry in here, and the Lord is blessing you. Boy, you look so good out there today. Welcome to each and every one of you this morning. Before we begin our service, we have put off here a couple of weeks because of not getting these guys together. We have two guys we're going to ordain this morning for as trustees of our church family here. And they're already been working that capacity, but we want to make them official. So you two guys, Keith and Bergen, if you'll step right there, I'll give a charge to you, and then the elders will lay their hands on you and bless you into your work. All right, right there. I want you to look to me, guys, because I got a challenge here for you. And and I'll give you a copy of it, so if you make sure you get it all right down, you know, because you won't get it half what I tell you. So, do you, Bergen Tuttle and Keith Davis, pledge to this congregation of the Porter Christian Church to maintain a healthy and growing spiritual life that you will enable you to carry out the responsibilities assigned to you by the Porter congregation of both routine and special maintenance to the Porter Church property, to become familiar with and enter into any legal requirements necessary to keep this church of the Lord Jesus Christ a place where God's people can freely worship and serve this community in the way that God has set forth in the Holy Scriptures. Amen. All right. Now you can turn around. And here's a charge to the congregation now. Congregation, as your minister, I charge you to support Bergen and Keith with your prayers, with your moral support, and with your financial support when necessary to carry out their duties and responsibility to the keeping of the Lord's church here at Porter. Will you, Porter Church family, pledge to receive them as you have been charged?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, Omer and Doodle, if you'll come then, you guys will kneel down there. That's the usual procedure. And these fellows are going to pray over you that God will bless you in your efforts and your work. And we're so thankful to have you to be a part of this work here at Porter.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We love you. We know that we'll do a good job. And we pray that you'll continue to bless them and keep them safe and through the work here. Keep them in my service. Father, we thank you for these two who come here to the work of the church. Be with them. Give them a safe journey back and forth when they come here. Be with them and fully rescue them in the service. God and direct us. Save us again for prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, fellas. Everybody here is really important. You're just as important as anybody else around here. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, you know, and we wouldn't be able to carry out the work here. If it wasn't for your financial support, then these fellows couldn't take care of the things that we take care of around here and so forth. So we really appreciate everybody. But we do have scripturally the special task for different ones and responsibilities. And these men are willing to take that responsibility. And it is, in a sense, a responsibility, but it's a good responsibility because it's the Lord's work, and we know He'll bless you in it. And thank you so very much. All right, this being the 15th day, I want to share with you the 15th Psalm. It goes like this. Most of you probably know this by heart. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth out his money to usury, nor taketh He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen.
For him that worship this morning, using number 367, first and last verse in the middle of our prayers. Let's all stand.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load, and you have his way with you? His love can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your life and make you free. His love can fill your own.
Amen.
For communion hymn, we're using number 239, singing the first and last verse.
Thank you.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you provide for us our every need, Heavenly Father, and we thank you that you're such a loving, kind, and compassionate God that cares about your people and provides well, and we're thankful for the church people here, Heavenly Father, the people makes up the church family, that you bless them in such a wonderful way that they're able to give and out of love and out of generosity, able to give enough to provide for the needs of the church, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for that, and we ask you would bless them. We bless you, bless this offering, Heavenly Father, that it might be used in a way to serve you and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in this community, we pray. Amen. First things first, I think last week I missed announcing a couple of things that was on the bulletin. I don't know, just that's the way I do sometimes, I guess. I overlook some things. I think we had a couple birthdays on there last week I didn't recognize. But we have a couple birthdays for special guys back on the back row back there. Tax Day, they was born on Tax Day. But Sunday, they don't get their birthday on Sunday too often. But you guys know what you get when your birthday's on Sunday. We're going to bless you with a happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Doodle and Vernon. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Okay, what else take place here? Brian's got a birthday. He was here week four last. It was good to see him. And Bible study night at 5 o'clock. And listen, the week after next will be him sing over at Corinth. I believe it's Corinth, isn't it? Yeah. And so that boy, it comes around pretty regular, doesn't it? That's great. Good, always good to be with other folks and praise the Lord together.
Also, the day of the hymn sing, it's His Majesty's Messenger is having their spring cantata. That's the 29th at 3 o'clock.
So we're doing 3 o'clock
and at 6
Stamping
o'clock.
Ram and 6 o'clock at Skarsburg or Skinnersburg.
What?
Easy, easy.
Yep. We're gonna do it 2 times that day.
Thank you.
Not the first time.
Okay. Anything else to share with the church family? Anything taking place that you want to share with the church family? We have some things in the making. Hopefully, we'll get them going here pretty soon. We're gonna have a spring revival, and then we're going to be building toward a fall homecoming because of we're celebrating our 100th birthday here at this church here. And this church was dedicated in 1918. And so we're going to celebrate that. So we got several things making. We're going to be asking for some help in that for some of you folks that volunteered to do that. You do that well. All right, as we look at our prayer list, we still have a number of folks, and we have some new ones on there, and let me write down a couple before I get them. As you notice, Jerry and Judy is not here, and we talked about, we mentioned Judy's headaches last week, and Kathleen knows how that is, but we've been talking to Judy and Jerry through the week, and she has had this tremendously bad headaches all week, didn't get lined up to get a x-ray or whatever you call it, a CAT scan. And so Tuesday, they have now an appointment to go further into examinations there. Talked to her to Jerry this morning, and he said she's just sitting there with her head down in her hands. And so just pray for them that they'll be able to get some relief from that. And then Pauline is not here, I guess, because of the weather.
She had a bad night, my opinion.
Okay, all right. But it was so good to see her here last week to be able to be here and so forth. And we just pray that you'll be able to be with us more often. And let's see, who else are we missing here this morning that's not here? Okay, and looking on our prayer list, we have up and down our prayer list there. We have several that we've had on there for a while. Continue to pray for them. And we have some new additions here. And last week we had this young lad on there, and I didn't mention him, this Levi DeLippo here, who is old as our stamping ground, needs prayers, a young fellow. And then Steve Page, family there, death in the family. And so we need to pray for those. Who else on our prayer list here? I was trying to pick out here, not to pick out anybody special, but just to share with you some updates on them. So please keep us in mind of what's taking place, because we don't see everybody and don't talk to everybody that's on our prayer list, but you folks do. And so let us know how these things are going. And we know that prayer is a wonderful thing.
Beverly Martinez, she is a co-worker with our son Matt, and she found out she has stage 2 breast cancer, and they're going to do a mastectomy this week on her, and she has young children at home.
Okay, so we see we have folks, and from time to time, folks in our congregation, we all need to prayer, so you know the importance of it. So pray daily for these folks here, for the nation, our leaders and service people. Keep them in your mind, the nursing homes, and then pray for this church.
Harold Hamilton, World War II veteran, passed away. One of my friends, he was 100 years old. Keep Hamilton in your prayers.
Okay. Thank you, Virgil. All right. So as we come to our prayer time, be very thankful that we have a God that we're going to talk about, a God in heaven that hears, and a God in heaven that answers prayer in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way as we come to Him in our prayer time.
For prayer, Him, you number 219, sing the first and last verse, and I will have a prayer for the soul, Sam.
Wonderful Savior, Jesus, my Lord. Wonderful Savior is He. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
privilege we have together in your house today on the Lord's Day. Be with you individual this morning as your message is proclaimed, they take it to the heart. Be with the ones that are sick, comfort them and restore them back to their health again. Be with the ones that lost loved ones, that they get go to their agreement in a little bit and not having too much trying. Now go with us to the further exercise of service. Guard, you direct us and save us in the ends. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The invitation hymn number 351, 351.
You know, with as many times as I sung in front of you all, I still get nervous. All right, so before I start singing, I want to say some scripture here. Revelations 7, chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you, Kathleen and Michael. Appreciate it very much. We say this every once in a while. We have several in our congregation that have the ability to sing and to share a special with us. And Luna Bell, you haven't sung for a long time. And you need to get up here. Some of you others back there that sing, we appreciate you folks sharing your talent. Have you ever had a dream and you just wake up and you're just startled, just kind of shocked? Well, let's go this morning back to the book of Daniel. We kind of got off of Daniel. Go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 2 this morning, and we read about a man who was really stunned by a dream that he had. And you get turned there. Be patient with me, and I'll read. I'm going to read several verses here for our message this morning. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Within his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came, and they stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we show you the interpretation. You see the slyness and the wit of the king here. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show me the dream and interpret thereof, you shall receive me of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and interpretation of it. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certain that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one degree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Till the time be changed thereof, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered unto the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing and at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is rare thing that the king require that there is none other than that can show it before the king except the gods who dwell in is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth, the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered counsel and wisdom to the Ararach, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said, Ararach, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Ararach made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times of the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and in light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O Lord, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made me known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Ararach, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in the house, in before the king, and I will show unto him the king the interpret therein. And Ararach brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the later days. Now to get us up to where we're at here, from where we quit off about a month or so ago, you remember now we had about 20 kings in succession. Well, actually 19 and then one so-called queen that ruled Judah. Only 6 of those kings were good kings. The rest of them were bad kings. And they disobeyed God and they dishonored God and they even went as far as worship some of the pagan gods. You read there in there that the soothsayers and the scorpsters and the astrologers said even the gods, and they had an S on that. The gods don't you know, only the gods, and they don't dwell with flesh. They're pagan gods that they worshiped and so forth. Babylon had gods after gods after gods that they worshiped and looked to and so forth. Some of Judah, God's people, had been taken up then with them. And God had sent prophet after prophet to them down through the years and warned them and told them, you know, shape up. Or, you know, it's just the righteousness of God. Evil has to be punished. Disobedience has to be punished. And so the long story short, they didn't shape up. And they continued to do those evil things inside of God. And so now we have Judah 20 or 70 years in captivity. They are now in Babylon. We have Nebuchadnezzar has chosen the young men, put them in school to train them up so that they will be then people who will help him run his empire and make him expand and help him to expand his empire. And Daniel and the three we know as here of his friends were picked out because God had really blessed them and with wisdom. And they were picked and put in positions there of high honor. But in this case here, none of the wise men of the king could tell. And I like what the king says. No, he said, because this is really what happened. They would claim that they would get information from their gods. And we know, and even Nebuchadnezzar, a little sharp there, we know those gods didn't answer. Those gods don't talk. Those gods don't dwell among their people. The soothsayers, the astrologers, these people, the wise men, if the king wanted an answer for something, they'd just make something up. So it sounded good, and it would appease him. And that's what he was afraid of them doing here. Nebuchadnezzar here, you know, they didn't pay no mind to what God said. And of course, Babylon wasn't godly at all. But God's people were in bondage here, were in captivity because of their disobedience here. And they didn't pay any mind to what God had said. You know, we got a little bit of that going on in the world today. People are just not paying any mind to what God is saying. God is talking. Now, I don't know what you think about it or not, or whether you believe it or not. God is talking to this nation. God is talking to his people. Across the world, around the world this morning, across the nation, God is talking to his people. But you know, even his people are not paying any mind to what God is saying. And if we're not careful, we're going to be as Judah. We're liable to be in captivity. And I don't want to be in captivity. I don't want to be under the rule and authority of some of the foreign people, that's for sure. So we as a people need to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And do what God says to do. But nevertheless, they pay no attention. They're in bondage here. And now, here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's 2 years into his rule. You know, his father died. And he gets rule now. And he is king of kings. He is the most powerful king. He takes control of Jerusalem, taking the young men to Babylon, training them and so forth. Little did he know that God was using him and setting things in motion. And we can see that because we're on this side of it. Setting things in motion that only Nebuchadnezzar, but the whole world was going to know that he, God, is the sovereign God. Right now, they are looking, Babylon says, they got many gods. Of course, Judah had one God, but they had kind of messed up and paid a little homage to some of the pagan gods. So they were looking at a lot of gods. But God is doing this, yea, to punish Judah because of their ungodliness and their evilness, their dishonor. And he's also going to show the world he's God and only him. And we see that as we travel on. Daniel and his three friends were taken from Jerusalem and they were put in a culture far different from what they had grown up in. I believe everybody here this morning was raised in America. Is anybody here that's not, wasn't raised up in America? I'm sure you were. And so we know we've come up through a culture and so forth. So right now today, most of us that's in this auditorium here today, most of us, and practically all of us, just three or four, isn't, are living in a culture that we didn't come up with. And so you can visualize a little bit what Daniel and them lived in Jerusalem. Now they're in Babylon and all things are changed. And they're living faced with a different culture. But in doing that, they were called to stand firm, to be faithful, to serve God. And we see that very plainly as we move along. Daniel, several times we've seen Daniel. The book of Daniel, I believe, was designed to help his people, to help God's people live in a world that is opposed to them. Right now, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that we're living right now with as much opposition to the church as any time. You might say, well, back when it began, I don't know. They had opposition there. But you stop to think, we are living, in my lifetime, I'll put it that way, in my lifetime, we are living in greater opposition to the things of God here in America than I have at any time in my life. And we need to shape up. And Daniel and them, in the culture, which they're young men. We said they were in their teens. They could now be in the 21 and 22. They're young men. And we look at this world, and you know, it's filled with trouble. Guys, did you ever see so much trouble? Did you ever see so many things happening? Odd things. How many heard about the boy that got mashed into car van seat? Anybody hear about that? Would you ever have believed something like that would happen? I don't know why those things happen like that. But you look at all the other things that are taking place, and cars going off the cliff into the ocean, and it's just down and down, all kinds of. We live in a world that's filled with troubles and trials, tribulation, heartaches, and we sometimes ask, where is God? Is he concerned with what's going on? Even though we live in a world and in a culture that's different than what we have been used to, we're called to be faithful. Just as Daniel and his friends, when they went to Babylon, they in their spirit knew they needed to be faithful. They needed to stand firm in the ways of God. And you and I, regardless of what's taking place in this world, regardless of what takes place in the nation, in our state, here in our county or whatever, we need, as God's people, to stand strong in the ways, the values of God, and to be faithful to the things of God. We are called to do that. If you're a Christian, you are called to do that, to stand strong in the values that God has set forth for it. As we pick up now here in chapter 2, and in Nebuchadnezzar in his second year, isn't it something? Nebuchadnezzar's a young fella, and he's now taken control because his father has died, passed on to his reward. And he really going to get one. And he's just 2 years, and he's, hey, man, he can't sleep. He's just, isn't God wonderful? Hey, you know, God plants dreams in evil man's mind. We see that in Old Testament time, don't we? We see that God planted a dream in certain people's minds, stirred them up, caused things to happen. Boy, Nebuchadnezzar having his dreams, and God's behind that. God's put that dream in his mind. And he's really troubled. He don't understand what's taking place. And he's probably saying, I'm just getting started, and now I'm all troubled here, and I can't sleep, and trouble with these dreams here. And some people say, you know, God's got all these problems and stuff. Where's God? He's at work. Boy, he's at work even in people who don't think that God's at work in their lives. Nebuchadnezzar, powerful. Second year of his reign, he has this dream. He's troubled. His spirit within him, no peace. That's a terrible thing to have. Be in a situation that you can't have peace. You can't rest. You can't sleep. The dreams upset him, troubled him. He's called the wise men to interpret here. And he, listen, he's King of Kings. He's rich. He's powerful. He is popular. But he has no peace. He has everything the world has to offer. You know, he's a worldling. He has everything. But he doesn't have peace. He doesn't have peace. He's troubled. And he calls for his wise men to come. He's doing he thinks that they will be able to give him the answer. They are his counselors. They are his advisors. And he calls them to tell him this dream here. We read of the Chaldeans and them. They tell him, tell me this dream. And they said, look, King, nobody can do that. He said, there's no man on earth can do that. Only the gods, and they don't dwell with flesh. Oh, how wrong they are. Their gods don't. But we know a God that dwells with the flesh. Our God dwells with his people. And he dwells today. I like what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. God dwells among his people. He tabernacles with his people, the scripture says. He is present with us at all times. He knows and he sees. He knows what's going on. There's nothing happens that his eye doesn't catch. And you know that many of the Babylonians, all the Babylonians worshiped many gods. And the wise men, they sought what they thought, information from them. What's going place here? They were saying the only gods can provide the answer here, King. You shouldn't be asking this of us. You know that this is impossible. The king, you know, as he's highly angry, and because he's going to have them slaughtered, they can't answer it. I don't know whether he had in mind he's just going to kill them all and start with a bunch of new ones. I don't know. But he says, he sets forth to do this. They couldn't tell, and he commands them to be slaughtered. Now, he's capable of doing this. Now, if you read back in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and so forth, that's got the background to the book of Daniel here, you will see that this man is wicked. These kings did some very wicked things, and he's capable of slaughtering the whole, I don't know how many wise men we have, but I mean, I visualize there's many, many. He's got a whole bunch of young people in Jerusalem, but he's got old counselors. He's got those that have been with him, with his father for years and so forth. And so he's going to slaughter them all. He puts out the command to do that. And I say he's capable of doing that because, you know, he took Zedekiah. You remember Zedekiah was the last king. And he took Zedekiah and took him and killed his sons right before him. I mean, that's torture, man, to take your children, take your family, and let you stand there and watch. You know, some of that took place in, was it Isa or some of them, Bergen over there? I mean, some of those people probably saw their family kneeled down and killed. That's a horrible thing to do. Not only did he do that, he had Zedekiah's eyes put out. And then he took him to Babylon, and him and Ahab, he roasted them. So he's capable of doing that. He's capable of carrying out this destruction to whoever he wishes. Daniel comes on the scene. Him and his three friends now show up. Daniel says, what's the haste here? I mean, see, it's just a period of time here. I take it the same day. He calls the counselors, he calls his wise men and says, here's the dream I dreamed. He wants to get the answer quick. He's been troubled with this. And he don't want to be troubled with it. Hey, get me the answer. They say, we can't do it. If you can't do it, we're going to slaughter you. They say, we can't do it. He calls then the captain of the army, captain of here of the police, and he says, you kill them, slaughter them. And he's out gathering them up. And here comes Daniel and says, hey, what's the haste here? What's the hurry? And he said, give me time and I'll be able to tell you this. Interpret your dream and tell you the meaning of it. So Daniel gets his three friends, and what's he do? He says, let's have a prayer meeting. That's what the church ought to do when somebody's in trouble, somebody's having difficulty, somebody's needing prayers. The church needs to come together and say, let's have a prayer meeting. Pray for those needs. So here's Daniel and his three friends together, and they have a prayer meeting, and what does he say? He says, let's pray to God that he'll have mercy on us. Well, you see, Daniel and his three friends are in the wise men. And so if they all get killed, Daniel and his friends are going to get killed also. So I don't really think that Daniel is so much concerned about that. He is concerned about all the wise men. I think he says to God here, God have mercy on us that all the wise men wouldn't be killed. And that includes them. But most of all, I think Daniel wants this to happen to bring glory to God. And you know, we want good things to happen for us, and you want good things to happen to you. I want good things to happen to me. But during those good things that happens for us, we want God to be glorified. We want God to be glorified. And we see this happen here. And so they have a prayer meeting. Now, what can we learn from this as we close? You know, one thing that we can learn is this, that one can have all the world offers and not have peace of God. And that was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had all the world could offer. He had all the worldling could dream of. I mean, I can picture him sitting on his throne and he thinks of something he'd like to have, and he said, calls his captain and said, hey, send some of the out to get this for me. Do this and do that. He was king of kings there. And he had power, he had fame, he had wealth, he had influence, but he didn't have peace with God. He didn't have peace in his heart. He had his heart set on things of the world. He has no peace. He's hostile. He's angry. He's frustrated, the scripture says here for us, in the lack of not being able to control his own destiny. And that's what happens when people get all caught up in the things of the world. You know, they will be angry because they can't get what they want. I've told stories about a fellow that I used to know. He's passed on now. And I used to do a lot of work for him, and was a good friend of him. But he was rich. And he thought that he could buy whatever he wanted. And one time, one day, he and I we took some cattle down the stock market, and we stopped at Sears and Roebuck and so forth, and on the way back, he wanted to buy something, and they didn't have it, couldn't get it. So on the way back, I said, well, now you see, you're rich and you got money, but you can't buy that. You can't get that, you know. But you know, there are people who think they're rich and they can just have anything in the world they have. Nebuchadnezzar was that way. He could have anything. He could buy anything that was in the world. Anything that was out there, he could have. And he was influenced all the nations. He was king over all the other kings of the known world at that time. But he didn't have peace in his heart. And he said to his wise men, I'm troubled. He himself says that. I'm troubled. And he was angry with himself, frustrated with himself. A person loaded down with the cares of the world cannot experience the peace of God offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that today. They are people so disturbed, so angry with themselves and with everything around them because they can't control their destiny, because they're looking for all the worldly things. And they have no peace. That was Nebuchadnezzar. You see, we find peace in life only through the righteousness of Christ that brings us into the fellowship and relationship with God. If only Nebuchadnezzar could have known that, realized that, how much different his world could have been. But I say, you know, one doesn't have to be a pagan god ruling over a nation to have the troubles that Nebuchadnezzar had here, to have the problems. You can be a minister and be a worldling. You can be a student in college and be a worldling. You can be a mother and be a worldling. You can be a church member. You can be a church officer. You could be any aspect of life itself and be a worldling. That is to be caught up in the need or the want of the things of the world. And you won't have peace. And you'll be angry with yourself. And you will be angry with others. That's why Nebuchadnezzar, he was angry with these wise men because he couldn't tell them what he wanted to know. He couldn't get what he needed. And he was angry, frustrated by it. So we see here, one can have all the things of the world. You can have all the shiny things in the world and still be without peace. But you know, I truly believe that you can have peace with God and have all that you want to enjoy in this life. All that you need to enjoy in this life, God will give you. But peace comes first. Your heart can be set on things of the world, and that is why God uses the story of Daniel to remind us of the danger of the restless heart not at peace with God. I look at the book of Daniel and see that. And it's a message to each and every one of us, and anyone who will read it or anybody that will study it. It's a message to you. It's a warning to what you're doing and what you're going to end up with what you're doing. We don't want to end up like Nebuchadnezzar. Can't sleep, troubled. Nobody can answer our problem. Well, we can have confidence of heart that knows the peace of God. And that's what I like about Daniel. We don't have time to go into all that. And hopefully we'll do some of that a little later on. But we can have confidence of heart that knows the peace of God. Daniel knows there's a God in heaven. That's what he says is. There is a God in heaven, but you know something better than that? Daniel not only knows there is a God in heaven, he knows the God of heaven. We could say in so many terms, he knows God's word. He knows God. What did he tell Nebuchadnezzar? There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. You want to know something? And no one around you tell you? Ask God. Be quiet and still and listen for the voice. And he'll answer. To know God. In verse 14 through 30, the stark contrast, Nebuchadnezzar, a restless man. And I visualize as I read this, Daniel comes in, and can you imagine the wise men? They're all in a turmoil. Here's the captain, who is Arioch, if you pronounce the guy's name, what a name. And he's getting all together, going to slaughter them, and here comes Daniel. What's going on? What's the haste about? He's as calm as can be. You read him that way. As you read Daniel, seeing that, he's as calm as can be. Why? What's the difference between him and Nebuchadnezzar? He has peace in his heart. He knows there is a God in heaven, and he knows the God in heaven. That's where our peace comes from. Daniel, along with the other wise men, are facing death. And Daniel faces it with amazing calmness. You know, I mean, to think, boy, here's a king who is king of kings and he rules and he has the equipment, whatever, he can do them in. And the wise men are saying, oh, we're facing death. Daniel then was faced too, but he just calm. He said, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's ask God mercy, guidance, give us this. And look, the fact though that the life of Daniel, he expresses calmness in all situations. Every place you read about Daniel, when he gets in these things, he's just as calm as can be. I mean, it amazes me how that he can do, because he has a peace with God. He knows God. Wisdom comes from knowing the Word of God. And we know that these young men in Jerusalem, they were under great teachers in Jerusalem, and they knew the word of God. Daniel knew where to go, didn't he, to get answers. The wise men of Babylon, they said, there's nobody on earth can give you an answer to that. They said that the gods that dwells, they don't dwell among flesh, so you can't get an answer for them. They were telling on themselves, weren't they? They were making believe. They had been telling the king before, probably. Well, we will consult the gods, and we will come back with your answer. Boy, it got caught up with them, didn't it? Even the gods, well, them gods can't. They don't talk. They don't hear. They're not even a god. But Daniel said, there is a God in heaven that knows the secrets. We can see the confidence in Daniel played out a number of times in his study of his life. Daniel is wise. When trouble comes his way, he keeps his cool and places his confidence in God. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but in years past, and I'm thankful that God has helped me with that, that you know, you have a problem or difficulty, you get all riled up, and you know, sometimes, I used to work for a guy years ago when I was a teenager, and it's distorting. And boy, if he didn't get something just right, things didn't go just right for him, if he was working on a piece of equipment, if he's working on a motor or something, and things just didn't go right, he could throw a tool across the garage. He could knock out a window. He could cuss a blue streak. That didn't help him. I'm glad I learned that many years ago. That if you mash your finger, just don't, you know, the best thing is say, God bless it, you know, God bless it, you know. Be calm about those things, because when you get all riled up, what happens? It gets worse, doesn't it? And that's what happens in Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel wasn't that way. Daniel faced everything. He faced death calmly. Daniel approaches the king and requests a time, and God, he goes and has a prayer meeting, and look, verse 90, and he says, let's seek God and his mercy have upon us. And he will tell us and give us the answer here. And says, God revealed it to him. Now, and Daniel, it says, Daniel began to praise God and bless him. Now, you've probably read before, and we're not going to get there today because we're going to quit. If you read what God gave Daniel to give to the king, I don't know whether I'd be too praiseworthy or not. Because if he told the king what God told him to tell him, the king might not be too happy with that message. And the king has the power to slaughter all of his wise men. He might just take Daniel by the collar. But Daniel just walks in calmly. Says, here's the story. And we'll get to that later. But let us notice this. The magicians, the diviners, had no place to go for their answers. You know, it's a sad thing, folks. I know people today that has troubles and problems, and they don't have a place to go for the answers. Psychologists sometimes don't have the answers. All these counselors oftentimes don't have the answers. The astrologers, the Chaldeans, king's men, they had no place to go for an answer. Daniel had a place to go. Daniel had a place to go for. And I tell you this morning, you're a child of God. You've got a place to go. You see, God has the answer to all your problems. He's got direction for you in life. He knows what's going on. And he takes you and guides you and helps you. He has the answer to all your questions. He has a solution to all your problems. He has direction for your life. Why would we not come to know the God in heaven? So, I leave this with you folks that are Christians. You have a place to go. Now I say to you, if you do not, if you're not a Christian, if you have not allowed the Lord to be Lord of your life, I want you to know there is a God in heaven who loves you, and you can put your faith in His Son, and you can be open to the blessings of the God which is in heaven. We're going to sing our invitation hymn, the first verse only. If you need, for any reason, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come. It's His invitation as we sing. Let Jesus come into your heart. Few little words out of Daniel there, might they go with you all the days of your life, and might you always realize there is a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Just another day of life, Heavenly Father, another opportunity to honor you, to be with good God-fearing people, dear God. So we pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing upon each and every one that's in this building today. As they go forth from this place, Heavenly Father, grant them a safe week. Grant them a prosperous week, Heavenly Father. Grant them a joyful week, we pray. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.